Well, let me say, as we get started, there's a couple things going on today. One is Reformation Sunday, like I talked about with the kids. Also today is Commitment Sunday here at Southwest, when we make some financial commitments to God's work here at Southwest for the next year. And so if you guys have some envelopes with you, I hope you do, hang on to those, but we're going to actually bring those up at the end of the message. So if you want to get those out, you can. If you know what, if you forgot those envelopes, they have some extras in the back. If you want to grab that, that's fine. And if this is new to you and you're like, oh, I didn't realize this, well, don't try to figure it out right now. Don't worry about it. It's good to take some time to reflect and think, and so that's a good thing. We'll do that in a few minutes. First, let's talk. So one of the questions I get a lot as a pastor has to do with God's will. What is God's plan? What is God really doing in my life? You know, what is God really doing in my community? And how can I learn to see my own life fitting into God's bigger plan? God's bigger plan for our community and God's bigger plan for our world. And the reason these questions are difficult for us, of course, is that, well, we can't see the future. We can't see where God might take us in 1 year or in 5 years or in 10. You know, we can't see what might come along in our world and just change everything. It could be maybe that society changes around us and all of a sudden everything is new. It could be that a big employer moves to town, or maybe one leaves and all of a sudden our community has changed. It could be that nationally there's an economic upturn or downturn and suddenly our nation changes. It could be that, you know, somewhere else in the world war is declared or peace is secured and our world changes, or it could be anything else. And we know that none of these things can surprise God, right? But as for us, we can't see what's ahead. For me personally, I can say that God has continually changed my expectations and surprised me with the places he's taken me. 11 years ago, I was graduating from college with a degree in engineering. I was starting a master's degree program in the same subject at the same school, and I had no idea that God would change my path within just a couple years to go to seminary to be a pastor instead of an engineer. Well, 9 years ago, I was starting at that seminary, and I was pretty sure that I would go to school, I would graduate, and then I would end up in a church pretty similar to the one I had spent most of my life in. I was pretty sure I would end up as maybe an associate pastor somewhere, working as one person on a staff of many at a big church, just because that was what I had always known. That was where I grew up. And so 4.5 years ago, when I found out that I was coming to Southwest Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and when I found out that I would not be, a pastor, but I would be the pastor, God was changing my expectations, and he was surprising me with where he was taking me. When I found out, too, Southwest is not like a totally white congregation, as most Lutheran churches are, but that together we're an integrated congregation with Anglo folks and Burmese folks and others, God was changing my expectations and surprising me with where he was taking me. When I even got the opportunity to help train Somo as he's preparing to become a pastor, God was changing my expectations and surprising me with where he was taking me. And I should say, I'm definitely glad to be here. Absolutely. It's just that me being here in this city, in this congregation, well, there were a lot of surprises along the way. A lot of stuff I never expected. Today, as we mentioned, is Reformation Sunday, when we remember the Reformers, those 500 years ago, those people who stood for the truth of God's word. They stood for the truth that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that Martin Luther, the Reformer, he was someone who was surprised by what God had in store for him. Martin Luther, if you don't know his story, Martin Luther began life as the son of a miner. His father was pretty well off and sent Luther to college to study law, which at that time was a very special thing. He was securing his legacy before Martin Luther then made a vow to become a monk. That was a big change. He studied theology, he became a priest, he became a professor, and eventually his study of God's word led Martin Luther to believe that the church of the day really needed to make a change. And that was something that Martin Luther never expected back when he started his journey to becoming a student of the Bible. And so Martin Luther, from that point, he started writing. He wrote his theses and his books. Luther debated representatives of the Pope who were sent. He was even excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church. And through it all, Martin Luther stuck to his conviction that God's word meant what it said, that Jesus saves us by God's grace through faith, that salvation is a free gift from God, that forgiveness doesn't come through our works, so that no one can boast in themselves. No one can be proud of how much they've done to make God happy with them. So from being the son of a miner to becoming the leader of a brand new church, I believe that God certainly changed Martin Luther's expectations. God certainly surprised Luther with the places he took him. And I think that's the one thing that's true for you and me and Martin Luther too, is that in the middle of all these changes, all these surprises, and even the ordinary times of life, in the middle of the ups and downs of our lives, we too can lose sight of the big picture. As we focus on our own neighborhood, as we focus on our own community, as we focus on our own 140, give or take a few people here, connected at Southwest Lutheran Church, we can lose sight of the worldwide church. As we become immersed in our own daily routines, you know, as our lives are filled by predictable tasks at home and at work and even at church, we can lose sight of the fact that really our God does great things. Our God does unpredictable things. Our God even does amazing things through ordinary people like you and me and all the people of God throughout the world. The truth is that when we become followers of Jesus Christ or when we join a church, God doesn't just invite us into one physical community here, gathered in one physical space that's made up of the people right around us, just the ones we can see. When we follow Jesus, he invites us into a worldwide movement of believers. And Jesus does, and Jesus can, create faith in people I'll never know, right? Jesus does work in places I've never seen. Jesus works in ways that I would never expect. Jesus and his movement is much bigger than any of us here. And Jesus will surprise us if we pay attention. Our scripture reading is a great example. Let's look at that scripture reading together because it really illustrates the fact. We read from Acts chapter 28 at the very end of the book of Acts. And thank you, Laura, for the context. That was really helpful. I'll give you a little more context. The whole book of Acts basically gives us the history of the early church as the writer of the book, who is Luke. Luke traces the work of the Holy Spirit as God works through his disciples. So way back at the very beginning of the book of Acts, we see Jesus and his disciples, and they're gathered together just before Jesus ascends into heaven. And there, Jesus gives his disciples this promise. Jesus says to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And this is a really, really, really big promise that Jesus makes. It's hard to overstate how big this is, because the church was not yet a worldwide movement. It would be like if I said to you all here today, just you here, it won't be too long before you will soon be sharing the gospel across all of Fort Wayne, and then through the whole United States of America, and then you'll go to Europe, and across Africa, and Australia, and South America, and Asia. And I'm talking about just you, you people who are sitting right here today. A group this size is going to start a worldwide movement. In fact, Acts chapter 1, verse 15, back at the beginning, tells us that the number of believers at that point in time was just about 120, which is not too far off from what we have here. And this group of people would be Jesus' witnesses across the whole city, that is Jerusalem, and then across the whole nation, and that is Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth, across the whole known world. And then the rest of the book of Acts is us seeing this promise unfold. And so chapters 1 to 7 share the ministry of the church in Jerusalem until persecution arises and forces them to scatter and flee Jerusalem. And so where do the believers go from there? Well, they scatter all across Judea and Samaria, the whole nation, and they carry the gospel with them. And then chapters 8 to 12, they talk about the church's ministry throughout the nation, and this is when they begin seeking Gentile converts in addition to Jewish believers. And in chapter 13 of Acts, then we see the church for the very first time. It sends out people on a mission intentionally. They sent out these guys, Paul and Barnabas. They were the first Christians to be intentionally sent out as missionaries. They were the first ones to be sent to share the good news of Jesus with people in faraway places. And then the rest of the book of Acts from chapter 13 on, we hear about how Paul has traveled all over the place, all around the Mediterranean Sea, sharing the gospel. And he's gone pretty far, but not quite yet to the ends of the earth. But then we come to our scripture reading, to Acts chapter 28, the very end of the book, where Paul has arranged things so that he will be taken to Rome. And he's there as a prisoner. That's true. But he's there, and he's got the freedom to meet with people and talk to them, and Paul uses his time well. And so this is what Paul does in Rome. The last two verses of the book, verses 30 and 31 of our reading. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in Rome in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And to understand what this opportunity means, you have to know that when Paul was in Rome, that was basically, it was about the time when the Roman Empire was at its peak. People from around the whole world were coming to Rome at that time. People would come from all across Europe, from across the Middle East, from across North Africa. At that time, the Roman Empire contained somewhere around 1.3 million square miles of land across three continents and somewhere around 50 million people. And Paul was right at the center of all of it, planting seeds, sharing the gospel, and from there the good news would travel all across the world and take root. And do you think that those 120 believers gathered in Jerusalem about 30 years earlier would have ever imagined that? But what does God do? Well, he exceeds our expectations. He surprises us with where he goes. He creates faith in people I'll never know, and he works in ways that I would never expect. As we come together today, we should remember that Jesus has called us into a worldwide movement. You know, Southwest Lutheran Church has an important role to play in God's mission. I firmly believe that. Otherwise, we just wouldn't be here. But the mission of God doesn't end here. The church is much bigger than you and me and even us. And we can trust that God will use our community according to his will. You know, we don't know what that will is. We don't know what will be coming in 1 year or 5 or 10. But we know that God promises to work all things together for the good of those who love him. We know that our faithfulness to Christ, we know that our love for one another, we know that our service to our community will shape the lives of those around us, those closest to us, and then people across our city, and people we may never know as we seek to make disciples who make disciples. Well, in addition to Reformation Sunday, I said today is also our Commitment Sunday here at Southwest. It's a day when we make financial commitments to support the church here in this place. And like I said, if this is the first you're hearing of it, don't worry. You don't need to try and figure out something right now in the next 5 minutes. If you're a guest with us here today, also don't worry. This is kind of a family time here now, but you're certainly welcome to be with us today. As we bring these ideas together here on one day, Commitment Sunday, Reformation Sunday, and this fact that we are part of the mission of God, but the mission of God doesn't end here, I think the application is that we can make these commitments today with glad hearts. We can make these commitments today knowing that God will use them, and we can make these commitments today trusting that God will surprise us, that God will exceed our expectations. We can trust that these commitments here will make an impact here and even beyond your church, even beyond your life, because the mission of God doesn't end here. We have good news to share, and we will share it. We'll share that good news right here, and we'll share it in our community too. We'll share the good news that Jesus takes away your guilt and your shame by forgiving your sin. We'll share the good news that Jesus heals us, Jesus restores us, Jesus makes us new through his death on the cross and his resurrection, and that this is the free gift of God. It's been given to us to give to the world. And so here's what we'll do. If you've got those envelopes, those commitment envelopes ready, grab that. If you don't have one, that's okay too. But if you've got that commitment envelope, we're going to bring those up, and we're going to set them on the altar right there. And as you place that envelope there, you can say a little prayer. You can say whatever you want, but I know what I'll say is I'll say, thank you, God, for what you've given me. I'll ask God to bless these commitments of ours. I'll ask him to exceed our expectations and surprise us with what he does in our lives and in our community. And I'll ask him to give us faithfulness to Christ and love for one another as we follow Jesus today. Let me say, too, you know, if you've got kids with you, feel free to bring them up. This is good to do together. It's good for our children to see us making these commitments. And if you don't have an envelope, like I said, you can come up, too, if you want to say one of those prayers. I'll talk more later. But everyone is welcome. You can grab those now. You can come up. And if you want to sit, that's okay, too. You're free. I'll start.